A fire destroys a fishing boat in Haines, and a DEC official plans to visit Haines next week to discuss outstanding resource water protections. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Emily Files. Those stories and more up next. Fire destroyed a fishing vessel in storage Monday morning in Haines, prompting 20 volunteer firefighters to rush to the scene. The boat, which was not yet seaworthy, belonged to Brian O'Reilly, who says he's been working on the project for a long time. Firefighter Scott Bradford was in charge at the scene. He says no one was injured and no other structures were damaged. The boat was being built in a storage unit behind the post office. The fire spouted toxic smoke for a couple of hours before the blaze was extinguished completely. Here's Bradford.
When we arrived on scene, it was a fully involved boat, lots of black smoke, and a little bit difficult to put the fire out because there's so many little enclosed compartments, and so we've been cutting holes in the side of the boat to get water in it.
The fire started in the cabin, and O'Reilly says he thinks it was the oil stove. O'Reilly was not inside the boat when the fire broke out. The boat burned on property owned by George Campbell.
I'm not sure that this is going to affect me one way or the other, other than one of my renters is having a very, very bad day.
O'Reilly says he thinks the boat, which was insured, is a complete loss, but he'll sift through what's left to see if he can salvage anything. An Alaska Department of Environmental Conservation official plans to hold a town hall meeting in Haines next week to address questions about outstanding national resource water designations. The issue came up locally after the Chilkat Indian Village applied for outstanding resource protection for the Chilkat River. Right now, Alaska does not have a procedure in place to approve or deny those designations, but it still has some area residents concerned. DEC Division of Water Director Michelle Hale will visit Haines next week. Hale plans to hold a town hall meeting February 22nd at 6 p.m. in the Chilkat Center. She says she's received many phone calls and emails from Haines residents about the outstanding resource protection, and that's why she decided to hold a meeting to explain it. The contention around the issue has been apparent at recent meetings of the Upper Lynn Canal Fish and Game Advisory Committee. Resident Charlie DeWitt spoke out against the outstanding resource protection at a Friday meeting.
I've lived here all my life. I've fished here. I'm an Alaska native. I subsistence fish, and I don't want any changes because it's going to be the worst for all of us. You guys that love your greenie and don't want any mines and everything else are free to have it after I die.
The Chilkat Indian Village asked the advisory committee to support its effort to gain outstanding resource protection for the river. At Friday's meeting, Chair Tim McDonough said he wanted to compile a list of questions about the water designation, which is also called a Tier 3 protection.
Due to a great deal of continued interest in the topic of Tier 3 and an equal amount of information circulating in the community, I think it would be beneficial for the board and community to develop a list of questions for DEC to answer. The answers would hopefully address everyone's concerns and understanding about exactly how a Tier 3 designation of the Chilkat would affect the community and fishing game of the valley.
The committee members and audience put together a list of questions. For example, is logging allowed near outstanding resource waters? What other land uses could be affected? And what impacts has the protection had in other states? They hope DEC's Hale will be able to answer those questions at Monday's meeting. Currently, the Chilkat River request is one of three pending in Alaska. The applications are in limbo until the state decides on a method to evaluate the protection requests. Right now, two bills in the state legislature would give that authority to lawmakers instead of leaving it up to DEC. The Federal Clean Water Act mandates that states put systems in place to evaluate outstanding resource requests. The purpose of the designation is to give waters of exceptional recreational or ecological significance the highest protection under federal law. Outstanding resource waters are protected from discharge that degrades water quality, unless it is temporary and has limited impact. The Chilkat Indian Village Tribal Council hopes the protection would ensure the safety of the Chilkat River's salmon, but critics say it could stymie economic development. Southeast Alaska is growing older faster than any other region in the state. This so-called silver tsunami is expanding the need for housing, transportation, healthcare, and social services. Coast Alaska public radio stations are presenting a series of reports talking to our older community members and those they work with about many of the issues they face. In our first Aging Southeast report, Coast Alaska's Ed Schoenfeld explores why our senior population is growing.
Mary Lou Spart sits in the parlor of Fireweed Place, a senior's apartment building in downtown Juneau.
I'm 84. I'll soon be 85.
Spart's chats about aging in the city that's been home for most of her life. She says not long ago, she ran into a friend at a concert, and both noticed something that's becoming more and more common.
We looked around the room, and he said, you know, these are the same people that were going to concerts 20 years ago, 25 years ago, except we're all turning gray or white.
Spartz is part of the fastest-growing demographic group in Southeast Alaska. She and about 9,200 others make up a little more than 12% of the region's population. That's almost a one-third increase over 5 years ago. It puts Southeast's average age at about 5 years older than Alaska as a whole. Melanie Shivens, director of Juneau-based Raincoast Data, says today's growing population has roots dating back almost 50 years.
You had in Alaska and in Southeast Alaska, you had this huge cohort of the baby boomer generation coming in the 1970s.
Boomers are defined as those born after World War II, primarily between 1946 and 1964. Once they grew up, they came to work in newly developed oil fields or on the Trans-Alaska Pipeline. With a recession hitting the lower 48, still others moved for retail, construction, or government jobs created as oil revenue increased.
And that generation has really aged in place, and so you've seen this really big bubble of baby boomers sort of moving across the aging spectrums, and now that age bubble is moving into their older years.
Some people still head south for an easier climate, advanced medical care, or to be closer to family. But Alaska Commission on Aging Executive Director Denise Daniello says it's now easier to grow older without moving.
Alaska has a really strong base of supports: senior meals, transportation for seniors, homemaker services, along the continuum of care, which has really helped to support seniors being able to continue living, you know, in their homes and in the community longer.
But that doesn't cover everyone. Most older small city and village residents can't find advanced care without moving to Juneau, Sitka, or Ketchikan. And if they do, they find a shortage of nursing home and assisted living beds, as well as specialists familiar with their problems.
We don't have a pulmonary doctor. We don't have a cardiologist.
That's Dr. Susan Hunter-Jerns, the only neurologist in Southeast Alaska. She helps diagnose dementia, among other disorders.
Many times there's surgeries that need to be done that are not done frequently enough up here and have to be done down south.
Still, the region has seen growth in senior centers, housing, meal programs, village clinics, counseling, and home care programs. Southeast Senior Services Director Mary Ann Mills says one goal is to help people live independently as long as possible. That can be as simple as rebuilding a doorway to make a bathroom accessible or making sure a floor isn't too slippery.
Once someone breaks a hip, oftentimes they'll go to the hospital and then live the remainder of their days in the nursing home, and their lifespan will be decreased.
She says institutional care can cost nearly $250,000 a year in Alaska. Home and community-based care costs about a tenth of that. While the growing older population stretches services, those programs are facing challenges as state and other government budgets shrink. Back at Juneau's Fireweed Place, Mary Lou Spartz ponders some of the frustrations of growing older in her hometown.
The attitude is people who, you know, grow old, what are we supposed to do with them? They're just a burden. That's not the way I think we should be thought of.
And it should be no secret to anyone the numbers are growing. Researcher Melanie Shivens says we've known about this trend for a good 40 years. I'm Ed Schoenfeld, reporting from Juneau.
KTOO's Elizabeth Jenkins contributed to this report. Further reports in our Aging Southeast series will take a look at the region's limited assisted living programs and the economic ups and downs of our rapidly expanding senior population. Those stories will air in the coming weeks on KHNS. For KHNS News, I'm Emily Files. Thanks for joining us this evening.